Awesome. And if you just want a hot dog bun, I'm sure we can cut you a deal on just the bun, bun only. So that is cool. Well, good morning. How is everybody? Well, that's good. It's starting to feel like spring. You got to love that, right? I saw the sunshine a few times this week, and that's good. And I think we get to see it a few more times this week. So it is so good to see all of you this morning. I tell you, what a fun season we are in. We've got a team, our generational leadership discipleship program, Pastor Jim. They are in Honduras as we speak. That's pretty awesome. We were able to pray for them last week. I've heard a few little updates that they're there. We can see pictures on Facebook. It looks like they're working hard. It looks like they're having a good time, and it looks like they are in some sunny weather. And so that is a good thing, probably too sunny for our little our white skin, but I'm sure they'll adjust to that soon. But be praying for them as they are, about a week into their six-week journey, as they are going to just get inundated with the lifestyle of Honduras. So be praying for them. Chad Hansen got back this week from Honduras. There's Chad over there. He looks a little darker, right? He looks good, but he helped get things set up for the team. And then it's pretty exciting. We have about 10 people leaving this week for about a week and a half, two-week mission trip to Honduras. So they're going to be joining the group. Many of you or some of you might be here this morning or leaving. We just pray God's blessing over you. I tell you, how fun is it that we get to be an extension of GHCC down in Honduras. It's pretty cool. So Pastor Brian's leaving and Luke and a number of other people coming up. And so it's just going to be a great opportunity to see this body touch the nation of Honduras. We are going to be, in lieu of our Dollar Days offering, doing a special missions offering for our Honduras project. As there's a group, and they're doing sidewalks and extending roof lines and just blessing the school in Honduras. And so we're going to be doing our modified Dollar Days next week, and the proceeds will be going for that project. So come prepared for that. Also, be in prayer. For this church has been praying for a family in our community, the Wood family. Their son Seth, about 16 years old, went to be with Jesus yesterday after fighting cancer. And many of you have been praying for him and battling and warring and just loving that family, a good friends of the Jacksons. And so just be praying for them as they know he's in a better place, but the pain is real. And it's a young life, right? 16 years old. And so just be praying for the family and for comfort, and that through this tremendous ordeal that we would see God's goodness. Amen? So be praying for them this week as they're just dealing with everything that they have to deal with. But I'm excited this morning. I get to bring the word. It's pretty cool when you are looking at a calendar of a church and trying to map out where you feel like the Lord wants you to go and just is leading. And it's so fun when a guest speaker absolutely starts your series for you. So last week, if you weren't here, we had Pastor Craig and Moni Lotz here from Spokane. And if you were not here, I encourage you to get the message on the website. He absolutely just spoke, I believe, the word of the Lord for this house, some things that God wants to do. And so I encourage you to get the message. And so we started our new series last week. If you didn't know it, that's what we did. And so I get to continue. But man, we just had a great week. I just want to take a moment just to shout out. We had a ladies' retreat last weekend. And I just keep hearing the stories and the testimonies of what God did through our ladies. And I am so grateful for what God did in our wives and our sisters. There was healing. There was freedom that happened. Salvation happened. I mean, the whole thing happened at this ladies' retreat, and it's so cool. And so I want to say thank you to those of you that put it off. Alicia, my wife, Carrie Ann, Michelle Jensen. I mean, there was a whole team, probably about 15 ladies that really worked hard to pull it off. And I'm just so grateful to God's faithfulness to our ladies as they were truly met by the Lord. So thank you. Before we kick it off, I just want to have a little fun. Did anyone think Pastor Ryan looked extra good this morning? Pastor Ryan, come up here. And Noah, yeah, you got to come up here too. I mean, if this isn't the Trinity, I don't know what is. Noah, come here. Come here. I mean, you ain't cool unless you wear a Mitch Max pocket on your shirt. So, you know, we totally called each other this morning and said, what do you feel like the Lord wants you to wear? And we already all had it on. We knew. So, So I think you guys look pretty good. I think I look better, but you guys look all right. So, anyways, I got to make an awkward situation more awkward. Come on. And it's good to see Noah home from college playing awesome. Yeah, welcome, Noah. That's great. But I'm excited. Some people get really awkward around those situations, like when you wear the same thing. And I just like to make the awkward situations more awkward. That's how I roll. but again, just excited for what God spoke last week through Pastor Craig. Before the week at Easter, we took a week and we called the church to prayer and fasting. And I just want to say, you know, thank you, body, for engaging in that. You know, we had a great turnout at the prayer, but then just to hear some of the personal testimonies of what God did in your lives through it. And I've gotten a few emails of some things that God has spoke for our body, for GHCC, through the fast, through you and your prayers. And I'm just ecstatic and just challenged by what God spoke. And so we're just going to continue to run with what God's calling us to run with. But if you weren't here last week, Pastor Craig, he talked about, his title was called Both And. Okay, Both And. The full meal deal, okay? It wasn't called either or, and he talked a whole lot about tension. And you could maybe at times last week feel some tension as he spoke. Have you ever been in this situation? And it happens to me all the time, usually when a married couple is arguing in front of me. Has anyone ever been in that situation where a couple is totally having an argument and you're like, I'm right here, like, don't you know that you're arguing in front of me? Something about us gets really uncomfortable when there's tension, right? We have some friends of ours that we're becoming friends, and we don't know them very well, but they just battle it out in front of people, and it's totally uncomfortable, it's totally awkward, but to them, it's all good. They're working through their tension. And it's normal for them. And so, but I just begin even last week, as Pastor Craig talked about, there's tension that can come to the church. And I don't want to, as a body, to be afraid of the tension that may come as we walk out the destiny that God has for us. Right? I take it one step further and say, if we're completely comfortable in walking out the things God has for us, then we're probably not walking in the fullness of what he has, right? I think if we're ever so comfortable with the plans that God has for us in our lives, in our church life, we're probably just walking in our own ability. And I think whenever we do something that takes faith to accomplish, faith meaning outside of our own strength, outside of our own ability, I think you're going to have a little bit of that tension. And so I want to further talk about tension this morning, right? Just because we had the shirt thing, that was a little awkward, so we're just going to keep talking about this divine tension. You know, I think when there's unresolved tension and unresolved conflict, that's when we begin to have problems in relationship, right? In marriage, with our kids, with a business relationship, any relationship that we're called to walk in, whenever there's unresolved tension, you've got some problems. But I think tension in a healthy way is a good thing for us, because it reveals to us how we work through conflict. right? Part of the reason I get uncomfortable when my friends start having a marital argument in front of me is like, I'm like, I don't know how to handle their conflict. I don't know how to resolve their conflict, but they do, so they're okay with it. But last week, Pastor Craig talked about some differences of how people do church, specifically how we might do church here in Maple Valley at Generational Hope Christian Center. And you could feel the tension because he's talking about some things that hit very close to home in my heart. Right? He's talking about some things that hit very close to the hearts of you and your family. Right? He talked very close to some ways of doing church that you're really comfortable with. And he talked about maybe God wants to expand your view a little bit, right? That's a little uncomfortable for me, right? It's a little uncomfortable for you because I like the way that we do church, right? You like the way we do church because that's why you're here, right? But I believe the Lord is wanting to challenge us and just give us a whole different way of doing it or a different way of thinking it and a different strategy in doing it. He talked about the first type is what you and I would call, and I'm going to recap a little bit because you probably aren't going to all go to the website and listen to it. And so I'll give you the Cliff Notes, my favorite type of book, the Cliff Note version. He talked about the first church being what we would call a spirit-led church. And again, he made a comment. He said, I believe that all churches are spirit-led because the pastors have strategy. And again, I think it has more to do with the flavor of how you operate in the Spirit than being Spirit-led or not. So he talked about this free-flowing church where you see a lot of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see a lot of the manifestations of the Spirit. There's an emphasis on things being fluid and being led by the Holy Spirit. He said that's a good, healthy thing. And I believe that that is a good, healthy thing. And that's one of the things that I love about Generational Hope Christian Center is that we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and the Holy Spirit's guiding. The second type of church that he described last week is a church that is really focused. It's a little more structured. It's a little more focused on people, a little more focused on the lost, a little more focused on the strategy of having to get people from point A to point B, right? Where the first church is like, hey, we know there's a point B and we're just going to get there. And the second one says, hey, here's the strategy. And again, there's nothing wrong with that type of church. And I believe that there's some aspects of that type of church that God is wanting to instill in us. And I believe there's some aspects around the first type of the church that he is saying, I want to instill this in you as well. And so I hope you were challenged. He made some statements that really challenged my thinking. He made some statements that really made me mad and uncomfortable. Because I said, well, I don't know about that. And in talking to some of you, there were some comments that he made that you said, well, I just don't know about that. And I said, you know what? That's okay that we don't know about that. Because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to expand our boundaries and expand our reach a little bit. And so we might not know about it all, but I believe the Holy Spirit will be faithful to us. Amen? So the next series that we kicked off last week is called It's Personal. It's personal because it is. Okay, it's personal. Connecting with God and engaging with others. Okay, we're going to talk about these relationships over the next 6 weeks or so. Because if you really take to heart what was spoke to us last week, you can't take it any way but personal. If we're really doing what Pastor Ryan talked about us doing in communion, I'm sorry, but it gets personal. Like, living a victorious lifestyle and living a lifestyle by the Spirit gets very personal, right? If we want to talk about influencing other people, well, you can't really do that unless you're going to get personal about it, right? You're not going to be able to influence other people from an arm's length distance away or more than an arm's length, right? It gets personal. You know, the tension that Pastor Craig talked about last week has everything to do with how you and I relate to God.
has everything to do with how you view God as your Father, how you view God as your Savior, how you view God as your friend. And secondly, the tension he talked about is how you take that relationship and how that affects the relationship you have with the person sitting next to you right now and the person that you call your neighbor and the person that you call your boss and the person that you call the unsaved person that you get coffee with a couple times a month. Okay? Your relationship with God has everything to do with how you view other people. Okay, let's continue. The thing I love about Jesus and the thing I love about walking with people who have come out of religion. A few weeks ago at Easter, I talked about the difference between religion and the difference between relationship. And that's what I love about Christianity, because it's the only religion that calls people to relationship. Okay, it's the only religion that it's not about the do's and the don'ts, but it's about having a personal relationship. So everything that we know about Christianity that makes it what we love about it is because it's personal. Okay, that's it. That's it. That's it. It's a personal relationship. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not very close to those friends that I don't talk politics and religion with. I don't. You know what? Some of the acquaintances, you know, I'm good acquaintances with them, but I'm not friends with them. Why? Because I can't talk about personal things with them. Think about it for a minute. The ones that you call close to you are the ones that you could talk about anything and everything. And you could reveal your ugly. You can reveal your truth. You know, they say, do you really believe that way? Do you? I do if you do. No. Right? The ones that I grow with, the ones that I do life with, are the ones that I could say, hey, here's my view. They say, here's my view. And we can still have relationship. Whether it's the same view, that's cool. That's easier sometimes. But even if it's a different view, and I believe that that's the type of the relationship that God is wanting his church to walk in a real way. You know, if you're in this church and if you're in church very much, we talk a lot about connecting with God. Okay, and I believe at the core of everything that we are, we have to have a personal connection with Jesus Christ. Not a religious connection, but it has to get personal. But you only can talk about that so many different ways and so many times before you're faced with how does that relationship affect the relationship you have with others. Right? We can't just talk about one and not talk about the other. Right? We have to talk about both. You know, I believe and Pastor Craig talked about it last week, but when we talk about a culture that's only interested in what God is doing in our own life, right? Oh, I just had this great connection with him or this great time. Those are all great things, and it all starts with that. But any time that it ends with just this, we're going to get stagnant. We're going to get narrow-minded. We're going to close down, and there's going to be no outflow through our lives. And what happens? You're just going to get a little stale. Okay, Pastor Craig talked about that last week. Sometimes you get cynical, critical, all those things. So that's the first kind of idea. The second idea is I read an article 2 weeks ago. Someone sent it to me on that Facebook thing. And I told him, I said, I didn't respond on purpose because I didn't want to like just open up a can of worms. But it was a really interesting article because it had to do with this phrase that we call doing life together. I don't know if some of you saw it, but it was this idea, and it's a concept that's been through the church in the last 10 years that says we're just called to do life with one another. Is that true? Yes. Right? We are called to do life with one another. Well, what is do life? Well, it is what it is, right? It means what it says it means. It means that you have a relationship with people. You go through life together with others. Unfortunately, this article, there's always one in every bunch, right? It was a pastor, and he pretty much took this phrase of doing life together as an excuse to do whatever he wanted to do and get out of really doing life with people. Okay, this pastor, if he didn't want to like mow his lawn, he'd just tell his wife, "Oh, honey, I'm gonna go golfing with the boys because we gotta go do life together." He told his elders, "As long as I tell them I'm doing life with people, I could do whatever I want. I can go on vacations. I could go to golfing trips in Phoenix. I could just go out to lunch all day and just hang out at coffee shops. As long as I told them, well, I'm just doing life with people." Right? And he took that concept, which is a true concept, and he made it work for his selfish gain. Right? It became just another social thing that people do. And so there's this concept of, well, we're just doing life. Well, what does that mean? Because if you and I stop at that level with others, and my relationship with you is solely based on, I don't know, golf, video games, softball, and Buffalo Wild Wings, if that is the extent of our relationship, then what is the difference between any other social club that we see in our world today? Right? The doing life together in a Christian sense demands that our relationship together is different than what the world has to offer. Amen. It means, hey, we might golf. Well, I take that back. You will never golf with me. Okay? I don't golf. Right? We might do something else like golf. But it better not stay there. Right? It better grow into other areas where we are then doing not just life together in a physical sense, golf, Buffalo Wild Wings, but we are doing life together even spiritually speaking. Right? Where we are iron sharpening iron, where we are encouraging one another, where we are talking about the Seahawks, the weather, and end time events, or whatever you want to talk about spiritual. Okay? Where we are doing all aspects of life together, not just Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay? There has to be something greater than that. Because if we are missing that in the relationships that we have with others, then there's no difference between any other social club out there. Okay, so in our relationship with one another, we have to get the point where we're talking about truth and the things of the Lord. Okay, and Pastor Craig said last week, God wants you to do both. God wants you to be aware of both. And I think that's where things get messy, especially when we talk about a local church atmosphere. And it gets personal real fast. Your MO, mode of operation, gets challenged when we talk about doing both. Because we want to only connect on a spiritual level with people, or we only want to connect on a more superficial level with people. You know, I was thinking about it this week, and I was thinking, it's so much easier to build an either-or church versus a both-and church. Because when I have an either-or church, I thought of three things that it keeps us in. Number one, when you're building an either-or church or an either-or life, it's this or that, you don't have to change your views or your opinions. Well, I'm not going to do anything different, so why do I need to think different? I'm not planning on living a different life, so I'm going to continue with the same viewpoints and opinions that I've had all along. The second thing, when you build an either-or life, you really don't have to be challenged anymore. Because if you're not going to change your thinking, well, no one's going to challenge me anymore. As long as everything fits in my box. Well, that makes sense to me, so I'll accept that. I receive that, I agree with that, so we're good. But the minute that you receive something that you don't agree with, you're gonna have that unhealthy tension. And then I think the third thing we see when you want to build it's got to be this or it's got to be that. You stop growing different kind of fruit, right? You confine yourself to just this, to just a certain aspect. And I believe that God has called us to be a little more versatile than that. You know, I heard this said kind of this week, and I took my own spin on it. But I think a lot of these things, when we get stuck in doing it either or, I think it has a lot to do with our vision. I think it has a lot to do with our why. You know, why you do what you do. I wrote this down. I said, it's important that we know our why, because if we lose our why, you end up losing your way. Think about that for a minute. If you don't know why you're raising your family on the values that you're raising your family, you will end up losing your way. If you don't know why you believe the way you believe, guess what? You're going to end up losing your way. Not overnight, not in a year, but as you continue to just go through life and not know your why, not know your purpose, you will end up losing your way. I think it's got to get real, real practical for us. Okay, your why. You know, why you serve God. Think about it. Why you serve God? Because I should. Okay. Why do you come to church? Why do I come to church? Well, because I got to get my goose bumpies going. You know, I got to feel good. I got to have that connection. Well, that's good. But is that why you come to church? Why I wake up every day with a good attitude? Or try to. I'm not saying I do. But why? Why do I do that? What is the reasoning behind some of these things? Why I act the way I do in front of people that don't know Jesus? Why do I do that? I don't know. It's just how I do it. One of the greatest books that I've ever read in my whole life is called The Five Love Language Book. Anyone, by a show of hands, read the Five Love Language Book? Right, look at that. Right, a good 50% of our audience has read The Five Love Language Book. And so if you don't know, it's probably one of the greatest resources for married couples out there ever. Like, everyone does the five love language, right? And pretty much the author pretty much says that the main focus of the book is that we need to be intentional about the way that we show our love for other people, especially your spouse. And he says there's like five main ways that we receive love and give love. And he says you want to study your spouse and get good about showing her, in my case, love the way that she is going to best receive it, right? It's kind of one of those things that's like a blueprint, right? When you're building something and it's a blueprint, it says, oh, if I do it this way, you know, we're going to get the desired result that we're supposed to get. So Gary Smalley in the book says, hey, if you love her in this way, you're going to reach the place where she really feels the love that you have for her. And that, as a husband, that is awesome, right? As a husband, I want my wife to know that I love her, not just like, well, I tell her, right? She needs to be able to feel that I love her, okay? And so that's a great concept, but here's the problem that I have with the book. Because this was the first thing my wife and I did before we were married, when we were courting and having an intentional relationship. We were working with her parents, and we read this book. And this book is supposed to encourage me to find out how Kara really receives love. But when I read that book, and again, maybe this is just me, but I really realized how I receive love. You know what? If she would just tell me how great I am every 5 seconds of my life, then I'm going to feel really good about our relationship, because I love to be affirmed verbally. And I just love to hear those words, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then I look at her life, and she doesn't do that every 5 seconds. And so then I start to go, hey, girl who I'm not married to yet, this is 12 years ago, you should say this to me more often, because I'm going to feel better about things, and I'm going to go further in my life, because, so you need to love me in this way. And so instead of receiving the love she had for me, I was critiquing the love that she had for me. Because I was saying, yeah, that's okay, but it's not good enough. Right? It wasn't good enough. And so what we did in our immaturity, I'll say what I did, in our immaturity, is that book, we threw it out the window. Not literally, right? We still have it. But we said, you know what? If this book, which is meant for us to encourage one another, but if our immaturity is causing us to just fight and nitpick and bicker and say, well, you're not serving me. You're only affirming me. Just receive the love, people, right? Receive the love that they have. So this whole idea, right, it just threw us. And again, probably a lot of it was because we were immature, right? And we just celebrated 12 years of marriage last week, right? Pretty awesome, right? Best 6 months of my life. I'm just kidding, right? But 12 years, so obviously we're doing some good things. But again, the point of the book was to get to know your spouse and figure out how she works. And her goal was to figure out how I work. Right? And again, it was really easy also for me to get lazy. Because I wanted to be affirmed so bad in my thing, it was so easy for me just to affirm her. Instead of really doing the things that would really motivate her, encourage her, and bless her, I gave her what I wanted her to give me. And it completely backfired on us. So instead of me doing the things that really would bless her, I did what was easy. Like, oh, I'll just wash her car because it's a mess and it should be clean, versus spending quality time with her. And what it was is it was me imposing my own desires on the way that I love my spouse. So I think this whole idea, and again, I think I take it from marriage, but then I take it to the church, and I think we do that a lot with how we relate with one another and how we relate with the unsaved and the unchurched. Okay, I have an idea of how their walk with God is supposed to look. Well, they're going to come to church once. They're going to get a welcome card. They're going to leave. They're going to come back. And next week, they're going to be saved. And then after that, they're going to take all the earrings out of their ears and re-dye their hair back so it's not blue anymore. And they're going to be in a discipleship program. And they're going to stop smoking. And they're no longer going to do any social drinking. And they're going to spank their kids. That's how it works after you get saved. Come on, we're laughing and we're having fun. And we're maybe exaggerating, maybe, a little bit. Maybe not, though. Right? Maybe not. Come on, maybe not. But we have an idea, a timeline in our head of how their growth process is supposed to look like. And we end up limiting the relationship that we have for them based on them not fulfilling this timeline. Well, man, they've been coming to church, you know, for a month and they're still not tithing. Or they're still not spanking their kids. And in the midst of those things, is my heart still open to them? Or is my heart closed off to them? And my heart will open once I see whatever it is. Once I see the change that I think I should see in their life. It's personal, you guys. It's personal. You know, oftentimes with the unchurched, do I offer them what they need from where they're at, or do I offer them what I want them to have in their life? Lord, open our minds, open our hearts. I think Paul addressed this to the Corinthian church pretty well. And I want to read this scripture and spend a little bit of time. It says this in 9 of 1 Corinthians 19 through 25. It says, this is Paul talking. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave or a servant in some versions to everyone to win as many people as possible. To the Jews, I became like the Jews. In order to win the Jews. To those who were under the law, I became like one who was under the law. Though myself, I'm not under the law, but I became like them who were. So as to win those who don't have the law. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak. I have become all things, there's my title, to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So if you read this scripture, it can seem a little confusing. Right? I remember reading the scripture as a young man, and I remember people saying in youth group, hey, don't just change who you are because you're around different people. Okay, this scripture is not talking about being a chameleon. It's not talking about, oh, I'm hanging out with the sinner, so I'm now going to sin. Okay, it's not talking about, well, I'm with the religious Pharisees, and so I'm going to act all religious now. It's not talking about that. Okay, it's talking about something different. Okay, it has nothing to do, this scripture, with sliding of the truth. Okay, we got to understand that. It's not compromising the truth. Okay, it's not asking you to compromise the truth that's in your life. But I believe it's calling us to relate to people in a different way. Okay, to being a little more flexible in the way that we relate to them. Okay, it's talking to us about knowing and adapting what we believe and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit at the time with your surroundings. Okay, that's what the scripture has everything to do with, is how much are you listening to the Holy Spirit right now? Because as you parents know, you can parent your kids the exact same way with all four different ones. That works real well, doesn't it? No, it doesn't work well at all. Well, this is how I parent, and we're just going to do it until it works. Well, guess what? It might not work with your third born. Right? Amen. Parents said amen, brother. I hear you. I hear you. Right? Well, what does a good parent do? Well, we just drive it home until they get it. No, a good parent listens to the Holy Spirit and says, Holy Spirit, how do I get to the heart of my kid that's not getting it right now? Holy Spirit, how do I adapt with the truth that I know so I can get to the heart of the issue? Okay, that's what a good parent does. That's what I want to be, right? It's not just, well, it's just worked for the first one, worked for the second one, and oh, well. Hopefully the third one figures it out. No. Right? We adapt. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Is Paul wasn't compromising his gospel. He wasn't compromising his beliefs. He was saying, how do I adapt so that I don't limit the influence that I have with the Jews or with the Gentiles? He said, hey, with the ones who are weak, how do I adapt and how do I be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in my life so I can reach the weak? Quickly, I think we got to realize, and we've got at the foundation of who we are as Christians, we need to have all of our relationships begin with a commitment to love one another. Okay, at the very core of who we are, it has to begin with that commitment. Because if it doesn't begin with that commitment, I think down the road we're going to see the differences. And if we're not committed to love them, we will oppose them. We will reject them. But if we have the love thing figured out and say, hey, regardless, I am committed to love in this relationship, whatever it is, then you're going to get through some of those sticky situations and that tension that we talked about. You know, Paul said it and we read it. It says, I am making myself. He's making a deliberate choice that says, this is how I'm going to be with the weak. Not like, well, people are sinning. I really don't know what to do because I'm awkward and I'm not sinning, so I'm just going to sin. No, that's not what he's talking about. He says, hey, I'm going to put myself in a place where I can still have a relationship with the sinners, with the weak. in order to win them for Christ. Even if a brother or sister is wrong doctrinally, okay, we're not released from our obligation to love them. Okay, and this is where I think we've seen the church and the world have this huge gap, is because we've said, hey, because they believe so differently, I can have nothing to do with them. Well, that's not Bible, right? That is not gospel. You know, you can see this with Paul, right, in the issue that he had with the Jews and the Greeks. And the main issue they had in this scripture was about eating meat, because the meat that they would eat in homes was sometimes the same meat that was used in temple sacrifice. And so some Christians said, hey, I'm not going to eat meat because that meat might have been the same meat they used to worship idols. And so I can't put myself in that situation. And so then what they would do is they would not go over to people's homes. Relationship would stop between people because if they were eating meat, I'm going to have nothing to do with them. Okay, so that's a little bit of context. And Paul is saying, hey, eating the meat isn't the issue. Okay, it's the heart, and it's the commitment to love, and it's about allowing the gospel to work through the differences that you have with that person. Okay, there has to be a difference in how we handle conflict and disagreements from a place of knowledge to a place of love. Okay, we can't operate just in the place of knowledge. Why? Because knowledge will kill. Right? Knowledge will stop and get in the way of love. Okay, so I can go on and on about that, but I'm not going to this morning. Okay, the second thing we see in the scripture is Paul still had a desire to maintain the truth in his life. Paul wasn't just throwing the scripture out because it wasn't working anymore. No, he was committed to the truth. If you read, but he didn't use that truth to leverage people. He didn't use that truth as a club to be like, hey, I'm just going to beat them with the truth until they get it. No, but he didn't get rid of the truth. He didn't forget about the truth. He continued to stand for truth. He kept it a balance, right? That's a great word, balance. Right? He didn't hesitate to make the truth clear even when it made one position in the wrong. Right? He didn't hesitate on those things at all. Okay, and I think for us in this day, I think a lot of times we worry about compromise. And I think we need to be careful of that. Don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of times what we do is we limit the power of the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of times we don't trust the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to truth. Because we say, well, man, this person needs to change their thinking. And they're not going to, so instead of trusting the Holy Spirit, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to drive truth home until they get it. And I think we need to really understand that we cannot change a human heart. Right? Parents, you've tried. In your marriage, good luck. I'm just going to nag her more. I'm going to nag my wife more to not lose her keys, and so that's going to change her. No. Right? It ends up separating the relationship that I have with her. Okay, we need to understand that the best we can do in our own strength is temporary change. Only the Holy Spirit can produce lasting change in people's lives. Will we trust the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that changed my heart, can change that person's heart? Come on, it's personal, generational hope. It's personal, right? This has to do everything with how we view the Lord. Do we really trust that He can take a lost person and change their heart? Do we really believe that? Okay, Paul trusted the same Holy Spirit. That's why he could engage with all different types of people, because he knew the same Holy Spirit would get to their heart in due time, and he didn't have a timetable. The Holy Spirit had a timetable. I think the last thing that I want to talk about this morning is, and we saw it in the last part of the scripture, but I think in order, if we're talking about it's personal, connecting with God and engaging in others, I think we've got to retrain some of the way that we do Christianity. OK, Okay, in verse 24 and 25, if you don't remember, it says, "Do you not know that in a race they all run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in games goes into training." I believe that if we're going to see the harvest that the Lord has promised over this place, see the harvest that he's promised over your family, if we're going to see the things that we talk about, it's going to take us to retrain our minds. It's going to take us to retrain ourselves to do something different. Remember, we've got to know our why. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Right? We might have to train ourselves to think differently when it comes to the unsaved and the unchurched and how you view truth and how important the truth is to you. Right? We need to have, and we're all, I'm challenged as well. But I believe that the Lord is faithful to his word. And as we say, God, we want to get personal with what you're saying. We don't want to just come to church, hear truth, and relate to people in an impersonal way. Because I believe the Lord is wanting to see relationships with him grow more personally, but also the relationships that we have with the unchurched in our lives. He wants to see those areas grow. And it's going to take a retraining to do something a little differently. Amen? Amen. Steve, where are you at? There he is. I'm going to have Steve come up and play. We're not going to do a big response. But I just want to, as we kick off this series, I just want to talk about a few keys. Because I believe it's something that the Lord is wanting to challenge our church in. And he's wanting to challenge us in. Because I got an email this week that said, the harvest is ready. And we heard it, the workers are few. Well, what does that mean? Well, you're all here, but are the workers ready to work? Are the workers ready with the right mindset? And I think that is where the Lord is saying, hey, Generational Hope, it's personal. I want you to know how to engage with me so that you can engage with others. Would you stand up with me this morning as we close? Steve, you can just play. Right? I just feel like God wants to just start something in us. I know he's already started it. But I was praying this week, and I feel like God says he wants us to gain a more accurate picture of who the Holy Spirit is and what he's called us to do. Will you believe over the next 6 weeks that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself to you in a different way, in a pure, in a real way? That it's not just going to reveal who he is, but how he wants to work in your life through you. The second thing I really felt is that the Lord wants us to examine how our own mindsets have hindered the work of the Holy Spirit. The timetable that I talked about and we kind of laughed about, right? How those types of things that we have for the unchurched, or our spouse in their process of change, how has our own mindset hindered that? Holy Spirit, would you reveal that to us this week? The third thing I felt is that through this series, as we look at all these things, that we would be able to open our hearts to him and truly see how the relationship that he has with us can truly be the thing that is going to cause us to have influence with others. Again, it's not about my charisma. It's not about my personality. It's about the Holy Spirit's power working through me and working through you. That is what's going to cause people to take notice. Because my personality gets tiring. Your personality and charisma only can last for so long. But what the world needs is they need a Holy Spirit that is going to move with them, that is not going to get tired, that is not going to leave them. And the last thing I just felt is that we would commit to opening up our lives to the unlovely, to the unchurched, to the not saved. And let me tell you, they're not flooding through those doors. And I don't know if they're going to flood through those doors. I think they're going to flood through those doors because they're going to rub shoulder to shoulder with you on Monday and with you on Tuesday. but that we would commit to saying, Holy Spirit, we want to be used as a conduit to you. Listen, it's not either or, but it's both. It's, Lord, teach us to be all things. Not all things to all people in a negative way, but Father, teach us to be effective in dealing with all types of people. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in us. Father, I thank you that you've called us to get personal with one another. Father, that you've called us to get personal with you. That our relationship with you is designed to be personal. And the relationships that we have with others, the same thing. Father, I pray that you would, Father, that you would just reveal yourselves to us in a whole different way this next 6 weeks. Father, that you would remove blinders that have kept us from not seeing truth. Father, that you would remove mindsets. Father, those timelines that we talked about. Holy Spirit, that you would remove those things. Father, that we would truly be able to not be limited in who we can reach to. Father, I don't want to be limited in just reaching to the, 36-year-old male with dark hair. Father, would you, Father, make it to where we can truly relate to the weak. Father, but then we could relate to the strong. Father, we could relate to the religious. We could relate to the unsaved. Father, and that we could truly, Father, just even get rid of those negative mindsets that keep us at arm's length with people. Father, reveal to us areas today. Father, over this next 6 weeks, Father, would you give us strategy to see us get personal with you, Father, and open up our lives to others. Father, I thank you for what you're doing, and we just give you glory today. In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Amen. Amen. I tell you, God bless you. It's a good season. Be challenged this week. Be encouraged this week. Go eat a hot dog this week or right now, chili dog. God bless you. You are released.